close your eyes and pull out a dog.
And a new Irish record for Phil Healy, 22.99.
Christy Cooney hands over the Sam Maguire Cup to Graham Canty, Cork All-Ireland champions for the seventh time ever.
Hello and welcome to the Star Sport Podcast. My name is Jack McCarran of the Southern Star and I'm joined as always by Star Sport editor Kieran McCarty. Before we kick things off, I'd just like to give a gentle reminder as always to our listeners and viewers to please rate, review and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify and YouTube. Coming up on today's show, we have a special treat for you as we're joined by sisters Melissa and Louise Duggan. Melissa is a football all-star who played a starring role for the West Cork ladies last year as they won their first ever Cork senior football title. And not to be outdone, Louise was a key figure for Enniskeen who landed the county intermediate camogie title last year, securing senior status for the season ahead. A little later on, we'll chat to Erhan's Laura Sheehan. Laura, an Irish international rugby player, has recently joined the Exeter Chiefs, so we'll catch up with her to chat about the move and her ambitions for the year ahead. But Kieran, let's get straight down to business. You caught up with both Duggan sisters this week. They're a seriously talented family, aren't they?
Oh, it's a seriously talented family. And this was two of the four sisters. So Louise is the eldest of the Duggan sisters, and you've April, and then you've the twins, Melissa and Michelle. So like you mentioned there, Jack, Louise and Melissa had super years in 2020. Louise was vice-captain of the Enniskeen team that won the County Intermediate Camogie Championship, and they're now going senior for 2021. And we all know about Melissa Duggan. She's the All-Star Cork defender, and she was a key player in the West Cork team that won the County Senior Football Championship in 2020. So both Louise and Melissa will be plying their trade in the senior ranks in the county championships in the year ahead. And it's just a good, interesting, fun chat ahead with them, Jack. Melissa's after relocating up to Dublin. So she tuned in from Dublin while Louise was closer to home. And you could see why they're such, I suppose, they're two sisters who've gone so far in their sports because they're very competitive. And even when you hear them talking about growing up as kids, the four of them out the back at home, kind of with hurley slitters and footballs taking lumps out of each other. You can see where that competitive element came from, but they both achieved an awful lot. And I think what's interesting too is that Melissa started off in camogie as well, and she was with Enniskeen camogie for a couple of years, and she actually won an under 14 county camogie title with Enniskeen before football became her first love. And while April, Michelle and Melissa kind of veered towards football, Louise always stuck with the camogie, and she makes no bones in saying that camogie hurling is her first love. So it was interesting dynamics going on there, and it was a really fun, good chat by two seriously talented sisters who have the potential to be big players. Well, they will be big players for both their teams again in the year ahead. It's a real treat for Southern Star podcast listeners this week as we're joined by two county winners from the one family. Louise Duggan, who was vice-captain of the Enniskeen camogie team that won the county intermediate title in 2020, and her younger sister, Melissa, who was part of the West Cork team that won the county senior football championship for the first time. There's four sisters. There's four Duggan sisters from Ballyboy in Dunmanway. Louise, you're the eldest of the four. We have April and Michelle as well. So, fill me in. What was it like being a big sister to the other three?
It was easy. I suppose I was always the one in charge. So, it was my responsibility. Yeah, I don't know about that. so it was good. We were always kind of sporty, to be fair. I suppose we spent most of our life outside in the garden, kicking a ball they kind of kept us away from the hurleys. If it was all four of us in a small area, it wasn't really, it would have been war. So football was safer in the garden, I think. It was good. Yeah, plenty of fighting and plenty of tick as teams 1 minute and fighting the next minute. So yeah, it was, we were all pretty close in age as well. So it's nice. We grew up playing together a lot.
And your GA journey, it took you to Enniskeen Camogie first, didn't it?
Yeah. So I suppose they came into school in Dunmanway, and me and my friends, second class maybe, we took off down to Badney and we didn't really leave down to the scheme. So would have been started off, I played football in school and I would have played a bit underage and then a bit in college, but it was always, it's difficult when it's two different clubs to have the combined, but it was, hurling was always my number one camogie.
Hurling camogie was always Louise's first love, Melissa, but you've gone on obviously to become an all-star defender with the Cork senior football team, but you started out in camogie as well. So what are your early memories of camogie, and are you a player that Paddy Murray's listened to this now and he's going, she's one that got away?
I suppose we were the youngest out of the four, and like me and my sister Michelle, so we were carted down to in-scheme camogie club as well. When we were younger, I suppose, I don't know when we started, we probably were 6 or 7 probably as well, but so we started playing camogie because like Louise and April were playing camogie, and you know, Mam was already going down once, so she might as well go down there 2 or 3 times again as well. So yeah, we pretty much like lived in Inniskeen for a while, nearly training and stuff like that, and Mam was carting us everywhere. But I suppose we always used to play football in the garden, the four of us, as Louise said. It was nearly always football we played at home. So we always had a ball, and I suppose that's when like I first started liking football and stuff like that. But camogie was nice as well, but I suppose more of my friends were playing football at the time than, you know, we'll say Louise's friends were playing camogie. So I played camogie up until 14 when I left primary school, started secondary school, and then I joined the football team because it is hard being from both. If we have a few girls, like we'll say on the junior team now, that are playing with Louise and are playing with myself and my sisters, but it is hard, like, you know, you can't give your full commitment, but they try their best, and it is good to see that there's junior players on the team.
And before you signed off from Inniskeen Camogie, Melissa, you won an under-14 county title with Michelle years and years ago, did you?
Yeah, we did. That was the last year I think we played. I can't remember much about it, but I think I was like corner forward or something. Did I used to play corner forward? I don't know. I didn't have much talent. I think they just used to stick me around the goal because I couldn't pick up the ball or anything. I just like hit it on the ground and stuff like that. But yeah, no, we did win a county final. I think it was in Clodove or something. So yeah, that was the first county medal I ever won. Yeah.
And Louise is probably better placed than most to kind of to cast a verdict on Melissa's camogie career. Like, you've seen her up close with Inniskeen, you've seen her up close with a hurling slitter at home. Was Melissa any good at camogie? You can be honest now.
To be fair, she's not bad. Like we puck around outside and like she can catch it, and well, she'd be going to hit it and she might miss it, but she'll get it the second go. she's definitely a better footballer. I think she picked her better sport, to be fair.
And when you saw your other sisters, Louise, all veer towards football and become part with the Donnies, but you said there, like, hurling was your first love. Did you ever feel that were you ever inclined to follow the other three towards football, or were you always very steadfast in your determination to stay with camogie?
I think I was probably determined to stay the same, not to follow the herd or anything, do my own thing. I suppose it would be nice to have the opportunity for us all to play together, but I think I picked the one that I'm better at anyway.
We nearly convinced her 1 year to come join. I think it was our second or third year on the junior team, and she was nearly there, but I think they did well in camogie that year, so I'd say it was a no then.
Yeah, but I'd never leave in a scheme, to be fair, ever.
What about in future years? Would you ever try and become a dual star, Louise, and try a lot in with Donnies for one season?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think so. I think I'm getting old.
And what is it about so camogie and hurling that you prefer, that appeals to you more so than football, Louise?
I think I suppose, yeah, I like the speed. I suppose as well with, you can let the ball do a lot of the work in hurling, so you can, you know, the ball will travel a lot further, I guess, less running, maybe. Yeah, so I just like the skill. Like, you know, we have good players on our team, like just watching them, like the natural talent that they have is just, it's amazing what some people can do with the hurley and the sitter. And yeah, just the skill and the pace. It's quite a fast game as well, and I suppose it's physical, quite physical. I kind of, yeah, that's good. I like that.
You mentioned earlier too, Melissa, about your parents kind of taking you to Inneskeen 3 or 4 nights a week. And I suppose, like every sports person knows, when we're kids, it's our parents that carried us everywhere, right across the county and the country. I presume it must have been the same for your parents, with 4 girls playing football in Camogie. They mustn't have left the road.
Yeah, no, mum was always on the road, and then dad at the weekends. So yeah, between football, Camogie, and we had athletics. And, you know, when you're younger, you'd be involved in other few clubs as well. So, yeah, they were always on the road. So, like, yeah, like, we're very grateful to have such good parents to drive us everywhere. They didn't mind driving us. Yeah.
Even though I think I told a story in the Southern Star before Christmas, your first night at Cork senior football training, Melissa, yourself, your mum and Michelle, you see, Martina Ryan was telling me that you got lost on your way to your first ever Cork senior training session.
Oh yeah, it was nerve-wracking that time. I still remember the journey. I'd say Mam was more nervous than me going to the training. She was all hyper, and then sure, we couldn't find, I don't know if you know Delaney's J pitch, it's up Blackpool in the middle of nowhere, so the Google Maps takes you to the wrong pitch, it takes you to the wrong entrance. There's no entrance on that side, so thank God Martina was following Google Maps as well. And so when we were last in, Mam was she was like tearing her hair out. She was like, I can't have you late for your first training and all this. And then I just was like, Mam, calm down, I see Martina, I'm just hop in the car and she'll take me to training. So then they found the pitch in the end. I saw them coming in while we were training, so it ended up well. Yeah, it ended up well.
And I think that, like, you got to your first Cork training session on time, and the rest, as they say, is history. And Louise, what's it been like for you to watch Melissa's journey up through the football ranks, kind of to come from the, like you said, from playing football and hurling with her out the back at home to become one of the top defenders in the country, an all-star footballer that everyone raves about? What's that been like?
It's been great, yeah, because Melissa puts in a lot of hard work. I suppose she has natural ability, I suppose, athleticism, really, like, you know, she's got a good endurance engine, and like running was always, I suppose running was where you first noticed that, you know, that there was something, that she had a talent. So then I suppose she just incorporated that into her football, and she mightn't have been the best footballer, I suppose, to begin with, but, you know, she had plenty of hard work and determination, and you know, she just, you know, it's great to see what she has achieved, because she definitely, you know, it's well deserved. It's well deserved, I think. So it's great. So hopefully she'll have many more years to come and many more successes up. So hopefully.
What's it like, Melissa, to hear Louise kind of wax so lyrical about you? Kind of as a group of sisters, would you be very open with each other, or what's the dynamics like?
No, like, we're close, but she'd never say anything like that.
You know I mean it.
I'm shocked.
The kind of beauty of this podcast, Melissa, now those words are there forevermore, so.
Exactly. You but can't take
that. I wouldn't.
But even though, Melissa, it's probably your turn now to kind of pay the compliment back, because in fairness to Louise, like, she's soldiered with this Inneskeen Camogie team for years. I think from, you're telling me before, Louise, your 13-a-side junior B days right the way up to intermediate, and now winning the county intermediate title last year to go senior this year. So, Melissa, to see Louise, like we said there, like, she's dedicated her life to Camogie, that's her first love, and now to see her, I suppose, kind of earned a reward for all that commitment and dedication over the years, and now she'll be playing senior Camogie Cork level next year. Like, that's absolutely fantastic for Louise. I mean, I'll be so proud of her as well.
Yeah, like, I still remember when like Louise was part of the junior team, like we were only small, like, but like you could see their progress all the way up, like, and it's been phenomenal, like, where they are now, because like it's a real team effort and a community effort, and you know, they've lost players and they've gained players along the way, and like, you'd know like some of them through Louise because they're her friends and stuff like that. So it's great to see that they're actually, that they managed to get over the final hurdle. The intermediate, they've been there a while, so it's great to see that they are into senior. I don't know like when they were last senior or if they were senior before, but it's fantastic to see, and they definitely deserve to be there, and it's just nice to see like such hard work and everything pay off in the end, because they definitely deserve to be senior level, and I hope that they have a good 2021.
And seeing as Louise is your big sister, how much did you look up to her, like yourself and Michelle and April, when you were younger? Because like, she was the older sister, she was probably the sister you're all trying to beat to kind of get the better of, because she was the oldest. So how much did you look up to her and want to get the better of her too at the same time?
Yeah, I suppose like we're competitive, but you know, we all have our individualness, and you know, we accept that and stuff like that, but you know, Louise was the oldest, and you know, we always did what she said when we were younger anyway, and even she was always in charge of what games and stuff we used to play. But yeah, no, Louise has been a great role model, especially for me, because sure, I like, we both did pharmacy, and she was kind of telling me, you know, when I was unsure of what I'd do, we'd say in college and stuff like that, she was doing pharmacy at the time, and like she told me like what the course was about, and you know, that you know, you'd like it and stuff like that. So like, that was a really big help, you know, and it's, you know, it's great to have somebody there that you can ask questions and stuff to, that that she can answer and stuff like that. So it is, she has been a huge role model for me personally, more maybe, I don't know for about Michelle and April, but like in terms of the pharmacy and stuff like that, it's been greater.
And for 2021, Louise Inneskeen will be in the senior Camogie ranks, mixing it with the Courcy Rovers and Inniscarra and all the big teams. How much are you looking forward to getting started this season and playing senior county championship Camogie?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I suppose we've been like waiting a while to get here, and we, you know, we've been measuring ourselves up against teams like that for a couple of years now, so it's great to get the opportunity to be in the mix, and you know, it's always good to have a new challenge and to push yourself a little bit extra going forward, so it'll be nice to drive on another little bit this year now, and hopefully we get going soon, and yeah, it'd be good to get back training and get up the fitness levels and up the get your touch back in and all that. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, definitely.
Is there any one team that you'd love to play in the county championship this year?
I suppose, why not? Courses. Start with the best. I suppose definitely looking forward to them. I suppose we always have a good duel with our close neighbours as well, so we'll be looking forward to maybe a day out against them as well. Noosa Sound. So yeah, to be honest, there's a few teams we haven't played before, so it'll be nice to play different teams as well, just to see what they're about and how we measure up against them. Yeah, so.
And yeah, fingers crossed, Melissa, that West Cork will be in the county senior football championship this year. What a spectacular year last year for West Cork. You won it for the first time, won the county senior football championship. I'm even getting confused myself here. Won the county senior football championship against Moore and Abbey. What was it like for you? You've been involved with the West Cork team for a number of years now. So to finally be crowned the best in the county, what sort of feeling was that?
Yeah, like, I suppose I was involved since it started, so you know, we had a few heartbreaking matches where we were so close but yet so far, so to win it last year, it was just like just an amazing feeling. Like, a few of the girls have been there since the start, and a few joined along the way, and a few had to leave because they were from like Kinsale and, you know, other clubs like that that were up senior. But it was just a fantastic feeling. I suppose, like, in a way, COVID and the year that was in it gave us probably an advantage because we never used to get enough training, we'd say, the other years before that, between the county and between our club own clubs, training and matches and stuff like that. So this year really felt like a club, like one club. We were all the one. It was great because we were able to get to training. There was huge numbers at training and we were able to do proper drills and matches and stuff like that. So just to get over the line this year, it was fantastic. You know, we had put in a lot of work, more work, I suppose, than we've done the last few years. So I know everybody was delighted, like the joy on everybody's faces that day and the relief, I think, as well. It was just fantastic to see. So hopefully, you know, they'll let us go again this year with West Cork, because like it's nice for clubs, you know, the junior clubs, you know, who mightn't ever get to senior, to get a chance to play senior. And as we say, to play different teams that you normally don't play. So, you know, it is a great opportunity for girls all over West Cork, you know, to try out for the West Cork team and to play for West Cork, because it's a fantastic opportunity. And yeah, it's just, I really do like playing for West Cork.
I think we all have our fingers crossed that West Cork will be allowed into this year's County Senior Football Championship. But just for a moment, Melissa, you won a County Junior B football title with Donnies back in 2019. What's the difference, or is there a difference between winning a county title with your club and winning a county title with your divisional team? Is there much of a difference, or?
I thought they'd be more of a difference, but West Cork last year completely felt like a club team. We were so close, like we were so close last year. It just felt completely like a club team. So I thought it'd be, you know, it'd be strange that, you know, you won the match with the West Cork and that was it, you know, you go home and stuff like that. But no, like everybody, we're all friends and everything. It's just like we all know each other so well. Most of us, you know, either playing through your own club with them or playing through county with them. So, you know, there is a real club feeling with West Cork. And I really got that from this last year compared to other years where you might only be like a singleton or like the clubs, like themselves would talk to the clubs, you know, the way like you'd only talk to whoever was in your club. But no, it was just great to win with West Cork, and you know, it did definitely felt like a club team last year.
Louise, kind of Melissa was just saying there how tight that West Cork unit was, but it's the exact same in Iskeen, and even more so last year. I think I was talking to Lane Aylward just before Christmas, and she made a point that because of COVID-19 and the fact that, I suppose, players, they weren't gone in J1s for the summer, they weren't working part-time jobs, that you were together more as a unit and as a team last year, more so than seasons before that. So did you find last year that the bond was stronger in that Inniskeen team than ever before?
Yeah, I actually did, yeah, definitely. Like Elaine said, definitely, we didn't have any distractions, you know, people going on even interrailing or going away for holidays for, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, or whatever, you know, whatever takes people away during the summer. And like that, for training, we had full numbers nearly every night of training. And I suppose we made an effort as a group as well to just maybe just do little things, just, you know, off the pitch, even just after training, like spend like 15, 20 minutes, you know, having something to eat or just having general chats, just like we were close as a group anyway. But I definitely think that we just became more bonded this year, and we all just got on the same page basically, and it was nice not to have any distractions and have the same group the whole way through, which we really did. And I do think that definitely gave us an edge more so than other years.
I think he took your, this was the Inniskeen fans on a roller coaster ride last year. I'm thinking of the quarterfinal against Blackrock, went 13 points down before he came back to win that, and getting through to the county final and winning that then up in Castle Road. Just take me back to those couple of minutes after that final whistle went, when it crowned Inniskeen County Intermediate Camogie champions, and you knew after losing finals in 2017 and 2019 that you finally got to the promised land and you're finally going senior for the first time.
Yeah, I think Melissa actually said it earlier. Relief was probably my first feeling, to be honest. I literally was just like, oh, thank God the whistle is gone. And it was just complete and utter like joy. And I think like we were able to have supporters as well, which the Westport team didn't. And like, it's a pity really, because like, I know we only had maybe 200 supporters, but like, just, it was just so good that they got, because I suppose you are playing as much as for yourself, you're playing for the supporters and your family. So it was just amazing to have them there, and like, you could just see the smiles, everyone was just so happy. So it was just like, there was great scenes of like joy and excitement, and that continued on into the village and everything. So the whole villages, and it was just great to see everyone's kids, old people, older people, and families. Just everyone in the club was just absolutely thrilled, and it was great that we were able to bring a smile to their faces.
It definitely was the big GA stories of the year in West Cork last year. I know, Vanessa, after we talked about two county final wins, there was one final disappointment last year. Was when Cork came up short in the All-Ireland Senior Football Final against Dublin just before Christmas. I think it was 5 days out from Christmas Day. Have you had a chance to reflect on that game against Dublin, and what are your thoughts now?
Yeah, I suppose we're all kind of reflecting on it at the moment. You know, Christmas is over and a new year has started, so it's probably back to the drawing board and see where we can go from that loss. I suppose it was like very disappointing. Like, we were up at half time, you know, everything was going well for us, but we just underperformed, I think, in the second half. And if you can't underperform in a All Ireland final, you know, especially against the Dubs, you know, they were reigning champions, and you know, if you slack in any way, shape or form in the forward line or in the back line, you know, it'll cost you. And it definitely did for us. So we just have to go back and look at ourselves, all of us individually and as a team collectively, and hopefully we can you know, get a good start to 2021 and to the championship. And yeah, we'll go from there, and hopefully we'll be back in the final again.
Because that was first-hand experience of how good this Dublin team is. And if they've won four in a row now, and I think they've been in the last seven finals, so they are the dominant force in ladies football right now. But seeing them up close and personal, how close do you think Cork are to draw level with Dublin and even overhauling them?
Yeah, I suppose we showed in the first half that, you know, we were, like, I suppose, on par with them, you know, maybe at their level. But I suppose they had a second gear in them that we didn't have. You know, their strength and power is something, I suppose, that they have an edge over, I suppose, us still at the moment. I think we matched them in football, but I think they have an edge over us in their power and their strength and just their, I suppose, like, I don't know, they kind of manage the game better than we do at the moment, I think. I suppose they have been at it, as you said, 7 or 8 years now. You know, they're all experienced footballers, you know. We're a team that's still, I suppose, we're not in transition anymore, but you know, we want to be starting winning finals now, and we want to be starting winning, you know, the big games. So we do definitely have to look at what went wrong in the second half for us and how to manage our game better, and just to match that physicality that Dublin bring to the game. Because if we can do that, I think we will be able to beat them. But hopefully we'll close that gap. The gap is tiny, I think, but there is still more improvements that we have to make on our side for 2021 if we want to be on par with Dublin.
And a big exclusive for the Star Sport podcast is that Melissa has gone undercover in Dublin. She's after moving up to the capital. So you're going to find out firsthand what makes this Dublin team so good, Melissa, and bring that back down to Cork.
I will. I'll be spying on. Don't say any more.
Before I finish up, Louise, what's your, I suppose, a goal or hope or target for you for 2021 in a sporting sense? What would you like to achieve this year?
I suppose it is to, I suppose it is to just maintain what we have, the way we were playing last year and build on it. And I suppose it's just to go get all the girls back again and get in with, get the training going again and just be competitive and give it her best. I suppose personally there's always things you can improve on. I definitely would think like my striking needs to improve. You know, there's always things you need to improve on. So if you can just you know, set a few personal goals and try and achieve them and I'll be happy out.
I'm going to put the same question to you, Melissa. Kind of one hope, goal, target, ambition for 2021. If there's one thing you can achieve, or you could achieve, what would you want it to be?
Well, I'd say, you know, my first one. But apart from that, I'd like
Hogan?
No.
I was going to say, who win a second Camogie medal?
Senior. No, very disappointed with Donnie's last year getting out. We'll say at the kind of semi-final stage, we didn't really have a semi-final, but like there, or thereabouts. So I really think that we could give Junior A a good crack, you know. Douglas and Castlehaven, you know, they're Castlehaven moved up, so there'll be a big rivalry there. So that match will be definitely interesting to see who comes out on top. So definitely looking forward to playing with Donnies this year, and hopefully we'll have West Cork as well to keep us going. And then for Cork, hopefully we'll be able to we'll just win the final.
I'm going to put the last question to Louise, because Louise, Melissa was telling us earlier that they tried to convince you to go playing football all those years ago, but you resisted. This is your chance now to convince Melissa to join the Inniskeen senior Camogie team for 2021 and help drive you on.
She'd have to do trials, I'd say. We wouldn't just let her in.
We've heard it here first that Melissa Duggan has to go for trials if she wants to be on the senior Camogie team in 2021. Thanks so much for joining me, Louise and Melissa. It's been absolutely brilliant chat. I want to wish you best of luck in the year ahead. You're both in your various senior county championships. So hopefully, West Cork and Inniskeen will travel far in both.
Thank you very
much. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening to the Star Sport Podcast, number one for sport in West Cork.
With so little live sport to report on locally in recent weeks, we were thrilled when news filtered through about Bear woman Laura Sheehan's move across the water to link up with the Exeter Chiefs. Kieran, this caught us by surprise, but having spoken to Laura about it, it seems to be a really positive step in her career, doesn't it?
It is, yeah. And like you said there, Jack, it's a live sports story in January 2021. So thank the Lord for Laura Sheehan, the Exeter Chiefs. As she'll explain in the chat now in a little while, there's no domestic rugby being played in Ireland. She was lining up with UL Bowes and Munster, but their season kind of finished last March. So it's a long time to go without any rugby. So potentially this is quite a big year for the Irish senior women's team. We'll have the Women's Six Nations in a couple of months' time, because that's likely to be postponed. And we also, Ireland had the chance of qualifying for the 2021 World Cup that's taking place in New Zealand in September, October. So prior to that, Ireland are involved in a qualification tournament to get there. And Laura wants to be front and centre with Ireland. That's her target. That's her ambition, to be a central figure with the Ireland team. She's been, by her own admission, on the fringes of both the Ireland 15s and 7s teams over the last couple of years. Saying that, though, back in October, she got a late call-up for this rearranged Six Nations game against Italy, and she was superb that day. And Adam Griggs, the Ireland manager, came out after, and he said she was fantastic, praised her defence, praised her attitude. So she really put herself front and centre again, which was great to see. But like she says, to force her way, you could play her way into the starting team, she needs to play. So that's why the opportunity of playing rugby with the Exeter Chiefs women's team came up. She got onto them back in December, which is an interesting one. She got onto them. An unfortunate injury to one of Exeter's American wingers kind of opened the door then, where Exeter said, yeah, come on over. She went over during Christmas and she's over there since. So she's working away during the day. She works at the PwC based in Dublin. So she's working from home over in the UK and she's training with Exeter as well. So it's a smart move by Laura and hopefully it'll pay off. And like you'll hear from her right now, she's very excited about the doors that this move could open for her. We're delighted to be joined on the podcast now by Laura Sheehan of Oran, but now of Exeter Chiefs across the water. Happy New Year to you, Laura, and welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, William. Happy New Year, Kieran.
This is brilliant. This is a good news story in January 2021, and it's a live sports story as well, which is makes it all the better. But you're in the headlines at the moment, Laura. You've signed for the Exeter Chiefs women's team. So fill me in on how this move came about and why this move came about.
I suppose it's all kind of happened fairly quick. I kind of reached out to Exeter in the middle of December. I just kind of sent him across a few clips saying I'd be interested to kind of come over and train if there was any possibilities. And I suppose, unfortunately for one of the girls, she got injured, one of their wingers. So they said they'd be delighted to have me and how soon could I come, basically, was kind of the general chat. I spoke at work and organised, would I be able to work from home from the UK for a little while and stay with my office in Dublin, and they were happy for me to do it. So then, yeah, came over on the 28th and I've been training pretty much every day since. So yeah, been happy out. Lockdown's coming here now, so life is fairly quiet. It's just training and work, which is kind of similar at home, but I'm loving the new environment so far anyway.
What's the big kind of advantage for you moving to Exeter Chiefs? I know hopefully the Women's Six Nations this year, World Cup qualification later in the year. Is that the hope to get games at Exeter and put yourself in the frame for selection in for the Ireland team going forward?
Yeah, that's kind of the plan. I suppose there's no games happening at home at the moment, unfortunately, and nothing for the foreseeable, really. I just kind of wanted to push for a chance of game time and even just for a chance of a different environment, trying to train more full-time in a 15s environment. And try and push on that way. I suppose I want to kind of get an edge. I'm kind of on the fringes at the moment in the Irish 15 squad, so I figured I need to do something new if I want something new to happen and to gain new skills. And I suppose, yeah, just push on it really. Obviously, there's a lot up in the air with Six Nations and even Prem at the moment, like if games will be going ahead. But I said I'd take the chance anyway and try something new and see if it comes off.
Standard-wise, what's it like in with Exeter Chiefs?
It's really high standard, yeah. We have a lot of international players. Like, there's a good few players over from the USA and Canada. We have Patricia Garcia now from Spain and Laura Delgada as well. Like, and they're very experienced internationals, so the standard is really high. The standard of coaching is excellent as well. Like, Susie Appleby and Amy Garnett as well. Like, they've both got, like, I think Susie's got, like, 60 caps for England and Amy's got, like, 100. And they're really experienced coaches as well. Like, Susie would have been coaching last year before she came here. And then we have sessions as well with some of the men's coaches. So, like, you're doing kicking with Garen Stinson and, there's, like, other sessions that do defence and attack and they take a lot of skill sessions. So it's a very comprehensive, like, setup and it's really well integrated into the men's team as well. Like, it's Exeter Chiefs is one, which is brilliant. So you're just getting that quality of, like, full-time training, full-time feedback and kind of being professional with a small P. Like, a lot of people are still working. There's some girls that are doing basically apprenticeships kind of through Exeter as well, so it's a very, I suppose, it's a new team. Like, they only came in last year, so it's still developing, but it's a very good setup to be coming into. Like, I'm really, really lucky.
Like you mentioned there, Laura, it's probably the right environment for you right now. Like you said, you want to get back into, like, you're on the edge of the Ireland team, you're involved in the squads, but you want to play for Ireland, and this is probably the perfect opportunity for you now to put yourself in the shop window for Adam Griggs to look across the water and see Laura Sheehan shining for Exeter and say, well, I cannot leave her out of my squad.
Yeah, well, that's plan A anyway. So we'll try our best, I suppose, to put myself in that position and nothing ventured, nothing gained. So yeah, that's the plan. Keep the head down, train hard, hopefully get selected for Exeter over here and push on in general, yeah.
And it's all about taking your chance. If you think back to last October, you were drafted in late for Ireland against Italy in that game. I think Ireland won 21-7. But you took your chance that day, Laura. Adam Griggs came out after and he was glowing in his praise of you. It's those opportunities like that. You took your chance that day. So when you get the opportunity, you just want to make the most of it.
Yeah, like, I suppose I've been doing a lot of training over the last few years. I've been in the Irish 15s and the Irish 7 set up. And I suppose I've just kind of been on the fringes of both, and it's just ended up with a lot of training. So I just really want to push for that match time, like, and I suppose nothing beats games. And I suppose like that, I got to put myself in a good position in that Italy match, and I really, really enjoyed it. And I suppose it just reminded me how much I love playing rugby, as much as I like training rugby. Like, nothing beats a match for the enjoyment. It's really your reward for all the training. So I suppose the more matches I can get, the more rugby I'm playing, and the better I play then. So yeah, that's hopefully what happens anyway.
So it looks so for the next couple of weeks in terms of training and matches. What, you know, what is definitely coming up? Or is it very much a kind of a changing window at the moment over there?
It's kind of changing at the moment, to be honest, just with the way things are happening with the Irish camps for Six Nations. And there's a lot of kind of decisions that are out of my hand there. But at the moment, there's a couple of games happening here. So we're playing Harlequins this weekend, and there'll be Saris at the end of the month as well. Like, they're all due to go ahead. So that's what we're training towards. And that's the plan. And then there'll be some Irish camps as well. But to be honest, I'm taking it week by week. Things are changing so quickly. Like, this week is Harlequin, so that's what I'm aiming towards. And we've had a good few sessions this week to prepare for that. So that's what I'm building towards anyway. After that, I suppose things are out of my control, because I just don't know how quickly things are going to change at the moment.
I suppose even they're talking about the Women's Six Nations. Again, I don't know at the moment what's happening with that, whether it'll be pushed back a couple of months or not. So it's very much a wait and see at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it is kind of wait and see. I don't know what's going to happen with that. Like, I suppose it's just hard for elite sport and women's sport in particular, since a lot of us are amateur at the moment, to try and fit it all in. And like, at the end of the day, it's a privilege to get to play a game, but you don't want to be doing it at the risk of anyone's health or anything like that. So like, if it gets pushed back a couple of months, that's not the end of the world either. Like, we've done lockdown before. We can train on our own, and if we can just train and prepare in the safest way possible and just be ready to go, then like, 2 months isn't a big deal in that scenario, then, if that's the way it turns out. If it happens when it's supposed to, alongside the men's one, then that'd be brilliant. But I suppose we can adapt anyway, and we'll go whatever happens. We can only control what we control, really.
Looking further into 2021, like I mentioned, World Cup qualification is up for grabs, and for the World Cup later in the year as well. How big a goal and target is that, and how much do you want to be part of the Ireland squad for that?
Oh, it's massive. Like, we've been building for a qualifier since I joined the squad. And I suppose we're getting ever closer, and I suppose the goalposts have been moving for the last couple of months, because we thought it'd be summer and then September and whatnot. But yeah, I know it's a massive goal. I suppose it's what you aim for. Like, it's what you want to be a part of. You train to play in these days, and get the opportunity to qualify for a World Cup would be unreal, as well as part of this team. And if we got the chance to go to New Zealand, then it'd be amazing. Like, we put a lot of work towards it, so a lot more still to do. But yeah, it would be the ultimate goal to get there. But it seems a bit far off now at the moment, just with all, we've a lot of training to do to get there, and there's a few things that I suppose we've to decide what kind of format it's going to be and all that kind of crack. But yeah, definitely one eye on that all the time as well.
Like you were explaining to us earlier, Laura, one of the reasons you've gone across the Exeter Chiefs is because you want to play games, because domestically last year in Ireland, was there many games even played?
No, everything was kind of called off in March time. To be fair, like, the AL runs from September to March, so a lot of us in Bowes would have said we were clear at the top of the table. Unfortunately, I didn't get to play a lot of club games last year, but the girls put in a serious run, and we were like preparing really well. Like, we have really good coaches with Fee Hayes and Eve Briggs down there, and they were pushing massively to do the double with the Cup and the AIL. So we were well on our way to do it. There was only, I think it was two league games and then the semi-final and final that were left. So we were kind of hoping that they might give it to the top of the table, but that didn't happen. But yeah, no, in 2020, there wasn't a lot of games. So just a lot of training, unfortunately. But yeah, hopefully it'll be different now. Come, I don't know what way the season's going to go, if they're going to do interpros in the summer or just try to get girls back playing. Because like, during the summer now, in fairness, Munster put on that we had like camps and training sessions and stuff, just because interpros weren't happening. They wanted to get like rugby across the province in a safe environment, which was brilliant, and it was really well done. We had because we had new coaches, they came in, and we had a few skill sessions with some of the Munster men's coaches as well, which is brilliant, just kind of getting more rugby in that way. So I suppose they're doing everything bar being able to have a match, so hopefully that changes now going into 2021.
How are you settling in over in Exeter? I presume it's a strange time to be moving countries, because you probably can't go out and explore like you would if it was in more normal times.
Yeah, it's been fairly quiet now, to be honest. I suppose I came over on the 28th, and I kind of anticipated that there would be a bit of a lockdown coming in. So I kind of went down to as many beaches as I could. I'm fairly near the coast here. So yeah, just explored all the beaches that I could. kind of the easiest socially distant activity to be doing, and to have a look around the Cliffs of Devon and all that kind of crack. So it's a really nice area, so I'm settling in well, to be fair. It's nice, I suppose, work is continuing as normal, so that's nice to have not everything completely new. And the area that I'm living in is really nice as well. So yeah, plenty of walks to be done, and there's a nice little village, so it's all good, settling in well.
You mentioned work there, like you work for PwC. So how are you juggling work and rugby and living and settling into a new country and joining a new team?
Yeah, taking it day by day, I suppose. It's been fairly good so far. Like, work have been really accommodating to me, and I really appreciate it. They supported me all the way, and they always have, to be fair. So yeah, I suppose working flexibly as much as I can, and getting, I suppose, as much as I can done before I go out the door to training, depending on the day. And just trying to anticipate as much as possible what the schedule is going to look like, so that I can, I suppose, manage things fairly well. And yeah, I'm lucky that I have a really approachable, I suppose, and accommodating manager in work as well. So it's been all okay so far. So hopefully it stays going this way. I'd be delighted if it does.
Absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much for joining us, Laura. I appreciate your time.
No worries. Thanks, Karen.
Thanks for listening to the Star Sport Podcast, number one for sport in West Cork.
Welcome back to the Star Sport Podcast, and as always, before we wrap up this week's show, we're going to give a quick preview of what's to come in this Thursday's Southern Star Sports section. So Kieran, we mentioned there hasn't been a huge amount of live sport to report on, but that doesn't mean the sports section isn't chock full of great reading this week, does it?
No, it's another super sports section, and I know I'm slightly biased when I say that, Jack, but it is. It's a really good sports section again this week for a time when there is very, very little, if any, live sport. So a couple of good interviews in there. I've caught up with the new Island Rovers senior football manager, Jason Whelley, for a chat about why he has taken on this role now. We also have an interview with the new Carbery Rangers senior football manager, Declan Hayes, who's dipping his toes into management for the very first time. And there's already quite a good piece with New Cork City manager, Colin Healy, about, I suppose, unearthing more talent from West Cork. And Colin Healy gives his thoughts on, I suppose, the youngsters who have been involved in the Cork City Academy over the last couple of years. So maybe West Cork is an area that Cork City will look to focus on in the years ahead, because we know the likes of Ronan Hurley is going on to achieve great things. And just on Ronan Hurley, just as a teaser for next week, he will be on next week's podcast for a chat. So he's our West Cork Schoolboys League graduate, former Bunratty United man, who's doing great things with Cork City. So tune in next week for that chat.
And just before you move on to the next point, Kieran, I just wanted to say, if Colin Healy is listening, this is a come and get me plea. If you're looking to sign any more players from the West Cork League with no championship football ongoing because of the pandemic, I am available, Colin. Come and get me. So there we go, Kieran. What else can we expect in this week's paper?
Have you got any clips of that famous goal you scored for Baltimore last season, Jack? That goal from, was it 248 yards that you chipped the goalkeeper from? Because if there is video footage of that goal, I'd love to see it, because I've heard enough about it, and I'm sure Colin Healy would love to see it as well. So if there is footage of that, that could hold a key for your big money transfer to Cork City. So any listeners out there who have any footage of Jack McCarron's goal, any footage of Jack McCarron actually playing for Baltimore, any live footage, please send it in to sport@southernstar.ie for my amusement. But as well as that, in this week's Southern Star, we have a very nice piece on St. Oliver Plunkett's new pitch and walkway that they put in last year. So Jeremy McCarthy's caught up with a couple of people who were involved in that that great work out in Ahiohill. So that's a really nice piece by Jer and well worth reading. Dunico O'Brien, he's the current West Cork Junior A champion, is actually writing a lovely piece for us too this week, just about how he started off in his father's footsteps, and even about his first ever score. So that's an interesting piece there. I'm also profiling, Jack, some of the West Cork sportswomen who could be in the headlines in 2021. So it's the likes of Joan Healy, Phil Healy, Orla Cronin, Nicola Tuttle, she's the young Bendon AC hammer athlete who won the national senior title last year. We have the likes of Aoife Casey and Lydia Heafy, Emily Hegarty. So they're all West Cork sportswomen who will, hopefully, touch wood, make the headlines for all the right reasons in the year ahead. So there's plenty of reading in this week's sports section, Jack. And there's also a piece with Phil Healy, who has gone on board as a brand ambassador with Nighans Motors in Bandon. And why I think this is great, Jack, is I just love to see a local athlete being supported by a local business. So Nighans have taken Phil on board as a brand ambassador. They've given her a new Kia Ceed for the year as a sponsored car. So it'll help Phil on her ultimate goal to become an Olympian. So I think it's great work by Nighans. So well done to them. And we've that story and more in Thursday's Southern Star.
And as we said last week, the Southern Star is still available in shops across West Cork every Thursday morning. So despite the lockdown that's ongoing, you can still get a copy of the Southern Star wherever they sell newspapers. And if you can't make it to the shop for any reason, you can log on to thesouthernstar.ie/e-paper and pick up a copy of our digital edition, which you can subscribe to for less than €2 per week. So great value, and you can read it on your computer, tablet or smartphone. And if you are heading out to the shops this week to pick up a copy of the Southern Star, why not pick up a second copy for an elderly neighbour who can't make it to the shops themselves? Because I'm sure there are many out there who can't go out because they're cocooning for obvious reasons, but would still love to be able to read their weekly dose of West Cork news and sports. So that's just a note on the Southern Star. And Kieran, before we wrap up this week's show, it's just another one I want to touch on with you. Last week you spoke to us about your addiction to Harry Potter, which got the better of you over the Christmas season. And with another lockdown underway basically for the last 2-3 weeks and going to be ongoing for at least another 3 weeks, are there any Netflix suggestions you want to give our dear listeners? You've been giving them to us all year throughout all of the various lockdowns. So what's on the McCarthy menu for January 2021?
Actually, just last night, I finished Basketball or Nothing. It's very short, kind of on Netflix, a kind of docu-series. There's only 6 episodes in it, and they're around half an hour long each. So it's about Chinle, and they're a kind of a high school over in America. I think it's in Arizona. So they're kind of a native Navajo kind of basketball team in that region. So it's just about their story as they try to win their first ever Arizona State Championship. And we mentioned before the likes of Last Chance U and QB1, these other kind of really, really good sports documentaries on Netflix. But Basketball or Nothing, it's wholesome, good fun. It's not sensational. There's no brash or arrogant characters in it. They're young lads who have some fellas who are facing some difficulties in their life because they have no running water. Some of them, one of the young fellas lost his father when he was 5. So it's telling their story as they try to put Chinle basketball on the Arizona map and how the community pulls together. I think the population of Chinle is like 4,600, yet their Wildcats Den holds 6,000 people. It just shows it's basketball is huge, huge in the area. So well worth checking out. It's called Basketball or Nothing. It's very short. I watched it over 2 nights. There's only, like I said, 6 episodes in it, half an hour long. Well worth watching. So that's my recommendation for the week ahead.
Good recommendation, Kieran. I might actually check that one out myself. And just one I'll give a mention to is the wonderful Bridgerton, which I'm sure many of you will be familiar with. If you like sex, scandal and salacious drama set amongst the British aristocracy of the early 1800s, look no further than Bridgerton on Netflix. It gets 2 thumbs up from me. Anyway, thanks for listening to the Star Sport Podcast. We'll be back at the same time next week. If you enjoy these shows, please make sure to rate, review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Slán tomhúil.
Thanks for listening to the Star Sport Podcast, number 1 for sport in West Cork.